Why people do not do. You know, that's a big question because it could be answered in an awful lot of ways. How many of us know things that we ought to do, but we don't do them? Sometimes it may be what the doctor advises us to do. Oh, doctor told me I need to do that, but guess what? I didn't follow up and do it. James 1, verses 21 through 25, talks about doing, being doers of the word in verse 22, not hearers only. And it talks about how a man's a hearer and not a doer in verse 23. It's like a man looking into a mirror and forgets what he's supposed to look like. When we look into God's word, it shows us what we ought to be, what we ought to look like. Here's what Christ looks like. Here's what a Christian looks like. Here's what I ought to be. But I'm not a doer, and so I go away and I forget about that. He goes on, as we read down through there, that he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. I'd like to look at some very simple reasons tonight while we study together about why people do not do. James emphasizes this over and over again in his writings. Now, if you look with me, for instance, in James 1, in verse 27, a little bit past our reading tonight, look at the doing that he talks about. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Well, how does he describe pure and undefiled religion? It's doing. It's seeing people in need and in your everyday life, going out and helping them. It's living a pure and holy life. James says it's doing. In James 2 and verse 24, he says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. By doing, we have justification in Christ. In James chapter 3 and verse 13, the scripture says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Who's that wise and understanding person? Well, he's a doer. He's actively involved in doing what God would have him to do. Looks like I left a verse off of there. James 4 and verse 17, I believe that is. I ought to check that quickly. That's right. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. You know the right thing to do, but you don't do it? It's called sin here. We think sin sometimes is those awful things that we might go out and do, and that's right. But sometimes sin can be not doing. And so, why is it that people, and you know them, you come in contact with them, why is it that people know what to do and they don't do it? Why is it that tonight there are some who know that they ought to be at the evening service, but they're not? Why is it that sometimes we choose to do the wrong things when we ought to do the right? We know that there's things we should do. You know, in talking about goals for 2015, part of what I talked about were things that I said we all know that we ought to be doing. Reading and praying and being hospitable, and I didn't really have to remind you of that. And I didn't have to remind myself of that. But sometimes days go by and we don't do. Well, why is it? Why is it that people do not do? Let's look at some reasons, that possibilities. I think maybe sometimes people are afraid. Maybe they're afraid of those around them and the worldliness that surrounds them and the things they see there. You know, Peter is very bold in Matthew chapter 26. And Peter is not the only one in this case, but he's the one that we have most clearly laid out for us. But when we look at Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. For after I have been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. So here the idea is striking the shepherd. Jesus is going to suffer. He's going to be taken. They're going to see things happen to him that they can't even believe are happening. And the sheep, those followers, the disciples, are going to be scattered in every direction. Peter answered, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter says, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the apostles. You know what I see here in Peter? I see a lot of you and I, and I see me. And I say, no, I'm going to do what's right. I'm committed to that. I mentioned going to the doctor. You go to the doctor and he tells you what to do. Oh, I'm going to do that until you get away from the doctor and then you do what you want to do. Peter's with the master. He's with the shepherd. He says, I will never deny you. I'm with you all the way. I'm ready to die right now. I'll do. You know the rest of this. If we can read it together down in verse 69, we see that Jesus has been taken and he's being tried, and the high priest there has him. And in verse 69, it says, Peter sat outside in the courtyard. He's not with Jesus. He's at a distance. And a servant girl came to him saying, "You were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." She says, you were with that Jesus. I have no idea what you're talking about. Verse 71. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began, he fixed the problem, didn't he? Your speech betrays you, you sound like one of them. Well, he wasn't going to sound like one of them anymore. He began to, what does it say? Curse and swear in verse 74, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter says, "I'm going to do it. Everybody else, maybe those other guys, they're not as strong as me. They're not as good as me. They're not as committed as me. I'm going to do it." He got in a bad crowd. He was influenced by those around him. The terrible things that happened to Jesus, he's seeing. He says, "I don't know who he is." Sometimes we can be influenced by our surroundings. We can be made afraid to stand for what's right and to do what's right. Maybe we're afraid to make that stand. Maybe that's why sometimes we do not do. This was somewhat of a problem that Peter faced in his life, because Paul gives an account there in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, Paul writes, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. As you read down through there, you see that Paul had to withstand Peter. Why? He was afraid of those around him. And so he compromised the gospel and gave in to the Judaizing teachers. He was afraid. Sometimes the teachings of the Bible are not very popular, and we might be afraid to do what we know is right. And it could cause us not to do. I mentioned this passage in Bible class this morning, John chapter 12. We read there that, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him. Why? Lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They were afraid of what men could do to them, but isn't it ironic that they weren't afraid of what God would do to them? But sometimes people don't do what's right. They didn't confess Him. They didn't acknowledge who Jesus was because they were afraid. Why else? I'm afraid sometimes we ought to just boil it down to what it really is. And sometimes people don't do what they ought to do because they're selfish. Because they're thinking more of themselves than of serving the Lord. We read about a young man in Matthew chapter 19. Several of our passages tonight are too long to fit easily on the screen, and so I just thought we'd turn and read those. But in Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16, we read there, "Now behold, one came and said to Jesus, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" What a great question. What can I do so that I can have eternal life? Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." He makes the point there that, as we mentioned this morning, that Jesus possesses those attributes of God. "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Jesus says, "Follow me. Sell what you have. Follow me." But instead, we read in verse 22, when the young man heard that saying, he didn't follow Jesus. He went away. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wanted to hold on to things more than following Jesus. You think it's possible that sometimes people don't do what they ought to do because they're selfish? What kind of things do people sometimes put in front of assembling together with the saints? That answers the question about selfishness real quick. I know some of you are anxious to see a football game this evening, but you're here, and I really doubt I'll go for another hour and a half and keep you so long that you don't get to see that. But wouldn't it be awfully selfish if I said, "You know what, I just had to see that game, and so I just had to participate in this activity. I just had to go to this place. I just have to serve myself instead of serving the Lord." Sometimes we don't do what we know is right to do because we're afraid, but sometimes we're just too caught up in ourselves. In Acts chapter 5, I would suspect there that if you asked Ananias and Sapphira the day before this activity, "Is it okay to lie?" I suspect that it said no. "Is it okay to lie even if it helps you out financially?" Well, no. But we read there a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, they could have, there were lots who were selling pieces of property and bringing the proceeds and laying it at the apostles' feet. They could have said, I'll give half, I'll give a portion. But they brought it with the idea that, yeah, we're giving all the proceeds. Peter said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. You know, the afraid part, looking around, it works kind of the other way too. Look at what we're doing. Look at the good thing we're doing. He says, that lie, you may have deceived men, but your real lie is before God. We read that Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of God? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. They knew what was right to do, but their greed and their selfishness kept them from doing the right thing. When we read about Diotrephes in 2 John chapter 9, you won't find 2 John chapter 9, but in that one chapter book you will find verse 9. I'm not sure if I didn't say that wrong again. 3 John, verse 9. The scripture says, I went to the church, John writing, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Why did he not receive John? Why did he not receive the other Christians? He was so caught up in himself and being most important and preeminent. And sometimes maybe we can be like that. Let's look at one more reason. I'm afraid sometimes we don't care enough about the important things. When we look in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is teaching there, beginning at verse 41. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. There's a long scene here of a judgment. But when we pick up in the middle of that in verse 41, it says, then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they will answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Looking out, seeing something that needs to be done, and just passing it on by. Not caring enough to make sure that it gets done. On a different topic, but of the same theme, we read in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning down at verse 9. In Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 9, the scripture says, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you become dull of hearing. They're dull of hearing. They don't want to hear. They don't care enough to hear and obey the commands. And he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and a doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. You ought to be teachers, but you're dull of hearing. You ought to be doing the good thing, but you're just not listening. Some people just don't care enough. Why people do not do. I think some are afraid, some are too selfish, and some maybe don't care like they ought to. You find yourself tonight maybe saying, you know who really needed to hear that lesson? And you think about maybe someone who's not here, or you think about someone across the aisle or in front of you or in back of you. Well, I'd like to boil it down a little more. The real question right now is, why do we not do? I'll start with me. Why is it that Paul sometimes knows good things that he ought to be doing, but he doesn't? And instead of Paul, why don't you try putting your name in there? If you're afraid, you need to get the courage from God's Word. And if you're just lazy and selfish, you need to get over that and serve God diligently. And if you don't care enough, read about the cross and see how much Jesus cared for you. That's what I need to do. Maybe that's what you need to do. Tonight, if there's someone who needs to obey the gospel, why would you not do it? If there's someone who needs to be restored to righteous living, why would you not do it? Those points we laid out are excuses, but there's not one good reason. Let us help you to do what's right, to do what's right. As we stand, Mark will lead us in the song.